Rejoice is the title today. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. We have celebration Sundays, and we say we're celebrating. We come the next Sunday, and we still have celebration Sunday. Every Sunday and every day is a celebration of life, and we rejoice in the Lord. If I ask you to tell me something you could rejoice about, we could get some testimonies probably. But we need to rejoice in the Capital Fund campaign. We need to rejoice in life and health. We need to rejoice that the Lord is good. Amen? No matter what you're going through, the Lord is good. Things we understand, the things we don't understand, we rejoice in the Lord because He has what we need, my portion, my healer, you just heard. And He is that, and we praise Him for it. A message here, we'll use various scriptures today, but in through the Bible, and certainly in Paul's letter to the believers gathered in Philippi, he tells us to rejoice. We can all quote scriptures, rejoice in the Lord, and I say again, rejoice in the Lord. You know, we can go through and say that, but do we do it? That's the thing about it. We can say a lot of churchy things or quote Christian things, but the key is not only to say them, but to do them, to live them out, to apply them to life. So I hope we're rejoicing. And it seems like, well, some days I feel like rejoicing, but some days I don't. So how do I get this Christian thing down? How do I read the scripture? It tells me to rejoice in all circumstances. How do we live that out day in and day out? And we're being called to be joyous people, to be the people of God, full of joy. And we'll have a principle or two here that I hope will help us. We have a choice to rejoice. You believe that? We have a choice to rejoice. Now, there's some days I can choose to rejoice easily. There's some days that I have to put a little effort into it because in the human aspect, in just life in general, there are a day or two that comes along that I don't feel like rejoicing. But I know that I have the joy of the Lord. I know that I am His, and in those times, we have to put a little effort in to rejoice, in a choice to rejoice. We're not a victim of our circumstances. Now, a lot of talks about that, and been in our own country now, a lot of talk about victims of this and victims of that, and I'm not making light of horrible things that happen to people now, so don't take me wrong. But I know that everybody is not a victim of everything. And that's my thought, and you can disagree. We're not a victim of our circumstances if we're Christians. Now, if I'm a Christian, if I've truly given my life to God, He's either got me or He don't. Now, even if He has me, I'm engraved in the palm of His hand, the psalm says, I can go through tough times. I can go through things that I don't understand, but He still has me. I'm still His if I'm God's. He knows who I am. I know who He is. And I'm in God. I'm in His Word. And His guide, His Word is my guide. And He has my life. So it's not just fate. It's not just some circumstance that comes along that says, oh goodness, this thing here just destroyed my life. Or, oh goodness, this right here, I can't go on. Again, not making light of hardships because we have them in life. But I must remember, and we must remember, who we belong to. And we belong to God. We belong to Him. If I've asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins with a pure heart and truly mean that, I am His and He is mine. And life, with its ups and with its downs, does not change the fact that I am His. So, let's rejoice. Not just a victim of circumstances. True joy. Where do I get it? True joy comes from God. It comes an eternal joy that will last forever is a gift from God. It's not something I can order. It's not I can read enough books on positive thinking or what have you. It comes from God. That's where true eternal joy comes from. So I have a choice to accept it or deny it. You say, well, you know, some days you're happy, some days you're not, some this circumstance, that circumstance. We realize that's called life. But I have a choice to rejoice in the Lord, to take Him up on His word, and it makes a difference. And here we got happiness and we've got joy. You go to a party and you may be happy. You go to this event or that event, you may be happy. You go to a comedy show, you may be happy and you may laugh. But joy of the Lord, it's a gift from Almighty God. And the Scripture tells us that it is a gift of God. It is part of the fruit of the Spirit. So the joy comes from Him. It's a gift, and it's a gift from God. And that's where we get this joy of life. So it don't flow from the outside in now. Whatever's happening around me, these things over here make me happy, these things over here make me sad. It's not flowing from the world in. True joy comes from the inside out. And the only way for it to get in there is through God and through His gift. So that's where joy comes from God Himself. Paul's in prison, and a lot of these writings here, he writes this letter to the Philippians, and he's in a predicament. He's in some circumstances that none of us would want to be in, not happy, but yet joyful. So he's got the joy of the Lord in him. It's not an emotion. A happiness may be, but joy is more than an emotion. It is a choice, and it's an attitude. Anybody ever said to you, you need a better attitude? You know, have you ever said that to your kids? Probably so. If they ever said it to you, probably. They were thinking it even if they didn't say it. Your attitude, you know, the attitude. It's a choice, and we've got to be on top of it because we know what it is to fail at that. We know what it is to be on top of that. So you have a cup of water, and it's half empty or it's half full. You know, you can look at it and you can say, Lord, thank you that I've got water. Or you can say, oh my, I don't have a full glass of water. We've all heard that illustration. So how do you look at it? Half a cup or, hey, I've got it. It's a choice to rejoice. Okay? A choice to rejoice. It's your attitude. And you own it. That's scary, isn't it, sometimes? It's your attitude. Everyone. It's your attitude and you own it. See, when I look in the mirror sometimes, I know y'all think that'd be scary for me to look in the mirror. But it is what it is, the old saying is. It is what it is. And I own my attitude. Now, on the days that it's good and I'm in tune and with the Lord, and I mean, hey, it's great. I look in the mirror and there I am. It's my attitude and I own it, period. Well, some days when it could be improved upon, and Judy lets me know, or what have you, it's mine then, and I own it. It's not everybody else's fault. And that is in our world, in our country, so high on the scale, it's everybody else's fault. I'm here to tell us we own our attitudes, the good and the bad and the ugly and all those sayings that goes with it. It is ours. So how can I get through life with this good attitude? How can I be the joyous Christian that God wants me to be? It must be from the inside out. It must be the Holy Spirit working in us. It must be eternal joy that comes from God, and it doesn't come from any place else. So don't look at the thorns and just say, well, there's a rose every now and then. Look at the roses. I know there might be a thorn or two. Be thankful. Be thankful. Habakkuk on the screen, 3:17-19. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on to the heights. Though the fig tree doesn't bud, no grapes on the vine, the olive crop fails, the fields produce no food, no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. This is not denying a hardship. This is not denying what we call facts or reality or truth. It's not ignoring hardships of life, but it's saying even though these things happen, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And that God will help me with that. His decision here to rejoice, again, was not a denial of hardship. We don't need to deny that, because we have times of hardship. We have times of grief, and we have times of sorrow. We know that. We've lived that long. But we can trust God through it, and we can rejoice through it. It is our choice every day. Fanny Crosby wrote over 8,000 hymns. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. You know that one, don't you? Praise Him, praise Him. We could go on with that. To God be the glory. That's a good one, isn't it? And she lost her sight when she was 6 weeks old. 6 weeks old, lost her sight. Yet, on her 92nd birthday, she said, "If in all the world you can find a happier, more joyous person than I am, do bring him to me. I should like to shake his hand." At 92. The next slide is a very simple three words. You are blessed. You are blessed. Now, if you're sitting here and you're thinking life's going good for me, and you know, hey, I'm just up on the high road and everything's great, and you can say, oh yeah, yeah, I'm blessed. You better believe it. If you're here and life is falling apart and circumstances are not good and you're thinking, oh dear Lord, what am I going to do? I still submit to you today, if you're the Lord's, you are blessed. Now, there's times of life we like better than others, but we are a blessed people. We're blessed, and we need to understand how truly blessed we are. Because sometimes in our world, in our nation, you know, if we don't have everything else, you know, over here, everybody else has got, you know, we've got it bad. No, we don't. No, we don't. We are blessed people. God's blessed us in many ways. And if you woke up today, and we did, here we are, and we've got more health than we have illness. You see, we're blessed to be alive today. And more than 10,000 people won't survive this week. And the numbers are staggering on these things when you look them up. If you've never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, the pains of starvation, the statistic says you're ahead of over 20 million people around the world. See, sometimes we just think it's right here, where our eyes are zoomed in on our checkbook and on our blessings and on just what's happening to me. And then we might say, well, what's happening in the church family, or what's happening in Clarkdale, or what's happening in Meridian, or what's happening in our nation. We get a little bit bigger and we see this, that, or the other, but there's a whole world out there. We're a blessed country. We're a blessed nation. God has helped us, and God's going to help us again, I believe, if His people will return to Him, if His people will humble themselves and pray, if we will do what we're supposed to do, God always comes through. We're a blessed people, and we've got to focus on the blessings that we have, because so many people around this world simply don't have them. If you attend a church service without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you're more blessed than over 3 billion people in the world. Church after church in Clarkdale community, there's people in all of them, more in some, less in others. Every little road you can go down, you can find some kind of a church. And here we sit this morning, free to worship, free to raise a hand toward heaven and say, I exalt thee, I praise you. And who we're talking about is Jesus Christ the Lord. And I'm not fearful of somebody coming in the back door with a machine gun. You say, well, it's starting to happen in our own country. Well, yeah, I understand that, and I watch the news. But I'm blessed, and we're blessed as a Christian people to come worship God freely. And there's people, men and women, who's died for that freedom for us to have. We need to see how blessed we are. If you can read, you're more blessed than over 2 billion people in the world. If you can just read. So we got to put it in perspective. You got food in your refrigerator, and you got clothes on your back, and you've got a roof over your head. You're richer than 75% of the world. Leslie did a class one time in Sunday school, and the first thing he said when we walked in there, you're rich, you're rich, you're rich. All of you are rich. And he went through not just the money and what's in the checkbook, but the blessings of God, so on and so forth. We are a rich people. We're a blessed people by Almighty God. And we need to understand that. We are blessed. So, we read the scripture. It says, rejoice in the Lord. And I say it again, rejoice. And I should have maybe put some of those on the screen, but I think you know them. And the joy of the Lord, and we read that, and we want to be that way on all day. So, joy is a choice, and we need to pick it up. We're blessed. And then I just want to switch gears to say to you, choose joy. You're a blessed person. And how are we going to stay in that frame of mind? Well, again, on the good days it's easy. On the bad days it's not so easy. We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to pray. And you say, well, you're all time. I've heard that prayer business. Prayer does work. It's not just a nice little a slogan. Prayer does work. Prayer will change your heart more than it will the person you're praying for sometimes. We've all been there, done that. Amen? God will change you. You praying for your enemy, and you know, look what they did to me, Lord. And we're just whining and telling God all about it. And then he starts to work on us. Prayer. So if this joy, this rejoicing, when it feels good, when it don't feel good, my way, life's going my way, life's not going my way. We've got to stay in an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ the Lord. It's got to be connected. And again, some days that's easier than others. But we belong to God. We're giving our heart and our life to Him. And He says we can cast our cares on Him because He cares for us. We belong to Him. And he's got it. He's got it. So we've got to stay in connection with God in personal time, in personal prayer. Now, we've been talking about prayer. We had a 24-hour prayer vigil. People saying, you know, that really blessed me. I'm glad that I came. I didn't sign up, but I came anyway, and look here what happened. And you hear people talk about that. We was praying on Monday nights, not just on a Wednesday prayer meeting or whatever. Groups come together and prayed on Monday night, and we see results of that. So Debbie Talley's heading up a prayer effort for different groups, taking a Monday or whatever. She'll give you more information about that as time goes. But we need to be praying as groups and as individuals. And when I sit on the front porch swing early of the morning, see, I missed that yesterday. I didn't get out there in time. A lot of things were going on, and it's already hot to me, you see. It was still early in the morning. But you get up there before everybody else and get out there, it's peaceful and it's cool. You know, it's cool. It feels good. And I can swing and pet the dog. And then I can pray, I can do whatever I want to, and feel a peace of God. Now, if I miss that, whether it's on the swing or the back porch or the whatever place I end up down in the woods or whatever, I've got to have a place. I've got to have a place. It might be in an altar. It might be in an office. I don't care where it is, but find you a place. Some of you's got that place. Theo Baggett had one out in the old shop. You know, if you ever went over there, he'd show it to you. Just an old stool and out there in a little rundown looking little old shop. But he'd say, right here is where I really meet with God, right here. It was his place. It was determined, this is where I'm going to connect with God. Can it be in the bed? Can it be in the bathtub? Can it be out in the field? That's between you and God. But find you a place. Many of you have a place. And you work on that place. And you get there with God. And you realize that, yes, I hear the news about Hillary. Yes, I hear the news about Trump. Yes, I see the wars in the Middle East. Yes, my family is on top of the world right now, or my family is going through hell, and all the demons of hell seems like it's been rushed. I opened the door, and they're trying to invade my family. Whatever the case may be, you get in that place before Almighty God, and you pray. And you release those concerns. And you release those things that are on your heart and mind. And it will change you. I know from experience. I know it's true. It'll change you. It'll help you get through the day. So, whatever place that is, find you one. And say, God, here I am. And here's my concerns. Here's the things that are on my heart and my mind that I'm worried about. And we all have them. But don't let the concerns own you. You own them. We all know now if we'd say, oh, I don't have a worry in the world, that's probably not truth. We've got concerns. We've got things in our life and our heart and families. And we need to get to that place where we're giving them to God. Lord, bless me today and help my family. Amen. Pew. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a time where you can really focus on God and you give Him your worries and concerns and where they don't own you. You dwell on them too long, they'll turn into more than you bargained for. A short while, it seems that, okay, I can think about this for a while. And nothing happens much. But if I keep dwelling on them, and I would say you're similar, then they become bigger than they are. And if they consume your thought process, before long you're in places you don't want to be. You'll be paralyzed by fear or what have you. So find that place. You know, when we were in school and we had a question, we'd go to the teacher with that question. If you're sick and you say, well, I need to go to the doctor. And what you do, you walk in there and you tell them what's wrong with you. And you're giving the doctor kind of control of what's going on. And he does whatever and you hope it's the right thing. If you have a legal problem that you just can't solve, you go see a lawyer. And they say, here's what needs to happen in this case. And then here we are in life and we have difficulties and we have burdens and we have concerns of life and we take them to God. And we take them to God in prayer. And then it's an expression of our faith. God, I don't have any control over these situations. God, I don't have any control over these concerns and these worries of life. I'll do all that I can do. But God, I don't have the power to do those things. It's beyond what I can do. But the theme of our campaign has been what? Limitless. The limitless power of God can step in. So Lord, I'm yours. I've been saved. I've asked for forgiveness of sin. I belong to you. You belong to me. We're together. We're in intimate fellowship together. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. So now, if all that being true and the Bible being true, and it is, and your limitless power, that nothing's too hard for you. Here it is, all of it. And I can't control it. I can't do a lot about it. So I'm giving you all this thing called life, and I'm asking you to help me. And it brings great peace, doesn't it? It brings joy. It brings the things that we need to get through this world. So we trust God and we trust His Word. Corrie ten Boom says this, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." That makes a lot of sense. That worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. So we don't need to be worry warts, do we? Philippians 4:8. If you would look at that scripture on the screen, it says, "Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever is pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So now we have instruction to whatever is true. Think on that. Not every theory in the world. Dismiss some of that stuff. How much information can you process in a day? How much information can you process in a week? Can you process in a month? You know, hey, here it comes from every angle in life. You get on the internet, you get on whatever book and whatever Twitter and whatever. I mean, it just zooms in from every place. How much can you process? Maybe we don't need to try to process so much. Maybe we need to spend more time in prayer than we do on Facebook. Maybe we need to take some of that time to get along with God and say, "Here, help me," and think on what's true and what's noble and what's right and what's pure and lovely and admirable. If anything's excellent or praiseworthy, think on these. And you say, "Well, are you just saying be like an ostrich, stick your head in the sand, pretend it don't nothing's wrong?" No, not saying that at all. But we need to focus ourselves on who we are in Christ and Christ's limitless power to help us. And not waste our time on other things. You've heard this story probably over and over. I've told it a dozen times. You probably wished I'd get some new ones. But this Indian, American Indian, was talking to a young American Indian. And he was trying to tell him what truth was. And he says, "It feels like there are two dogs fighting inside of me." And the young man says, "Well, which dog wins?" And the elder man said, "Whichever one I feed." Whichever one I feed. So what are we feeding in life? What are we feeding? Are we feeding the struggles of life and dwelling on them, or the concerns and the worries and the burdens? Or will we choose to rejoice? Will we choose to rejoice in the Lord? It's really our choice. The scripture says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I think I must have skipped that one, didn't I? On the screen. Looky there. There it is. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So we go to Him. We tell the Lord the things of life, and we can depend upon Him. Amen? Can you depend upon Him? How long have you been depending upon Him? "Well, I depend upon Him when it's good." No, I just depend upon Him when it's bad. No. We depend upon Him daily, in good and bad, and grief, and sorrow, and happiness, and all of life. My invitation to you today, wherever you stand with the Lord, is deepen your relationship. A lot of you are saved, and if you're not, I ask you, what are you waiting on? I really do. What are you waiting on and trying to get through life with all the things of life, and you're playing with religion, or you know Jesus is there, or you go to church every now and then? Listen, Jesus Christ desires an intimate relationship with you and wants to save you. And you know, well, hey, I've went through all that. I've asked Jesus to save me, and I know I'm His. Congratulations. I know that too. But I need help every day. I need the Holy Spirit's help. I need the joy of the Lord within me. I need that prayer connection daily to be a joyous person. And if you're just having a struggle in it today, you don't have to talk to me about it. I would be glad to talk with you. But maybe you'll just come in front of the piano and say, Lord, I just want to talk to you. I don't need to talk to the preacher. I want to talk to the very high priest. And Scripture says we have a high priest. His name's Jesus, and He identifies with you because He knows all about you. I invite you to come. If you want somebody to pray with you, you can come over here. I'll be glad to do that. But let's rejoice. Let's realize how blessed we are. Let's praise the Lord for all He has given us and all He's doing in our life, in the good and the bad, that I am a child of God. I've washed my robes in the cleansing fountain. I am a child of God. So He's got it. When I feel like He does, and when I feel like, in all honesty, Lord, where are You at in this situation? He's got it, and He loves us, and we're a blessed people. Let's be close to Him. Would you stand with me? Our Lord and our God, we thank You for the various Scriptures. We're thankful for the Word of God that is true, that is absolute truth. And Father, I don't know where everyone is today in their walk with You, or their emotions, or whatever in life. We just don't have no way of knowing, but we're thankful You do. And we're thankful that You love us, no matter where we're at. If we're the worst sinner in the world here in this building today, You love us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You don't want anybody to perish. So You love whoever we are today. Oh, You don't know where I've been, what I've done, preacher. Maybe I don't, and it doesn't matter. God does. So, Lord, we know You're here, and You want to save all of mankind. So, Lord, if there's one here that needs to be saved, I would pray that would happen today. And, Father, for those that are already saved and they're on a Christian journey, Lord, I don't know if they've lost their joy, it seems, or if they're burdened down with concerns that have just really got them down, and they need help. And there again, Lord, I oftentimes just feel like, you know, what can I do? And the truth of it is, a lot of times I can do nothing but pray. But it's what You can do. It's what Your limitless power can do. So help us to tap into that today and to realize the love of God. And we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.